It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. So welcome to Winning with Trevor. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful.
Thank you so much for tuning in again to another episode of Winning with Trevor, your no BS guide to self-improvement, where we explore different concepts that will help improve your life and the things that you can do to help yourself improve. And there is so much out there that we are capable of doing that sometimes we can even surprise and amaze ourselves with our own abilities. You know, there's an interesting concept called self-efficacy. And it's basically our innate ability to believe in our own ability. Our ability to believe in our ability to succeed, essentially, is what self-efficacy, Cliff Notes version, is. And it's so, so vital that we develop this, because this is related to motivation, this is related to mindset, this is related to our ability to get our ASS up out of bed every single day and pursue our dreams and do something meaningful with our lives and do something that we can look back and say, I'm glad I was on this planet. I'm glad that I was here. I really accomplished a few things, even if those things isn't getting your face on Mount Rushmore. Maybe it's simply creating a series of really beautiful interactions with other people that ultimately leave everyone feeling just a little better because you were here. That's what I call a meaningful life purpose. Doesn't have to be always grandiose. Not that there's anything wrong with that either, but sometimes we forget to appreciate how valuable we are to other people with just our own ability to shape the environment they are part of as well by how we are, the reactions that we choose to foster deep inside ourselves. And so one of the things that I think is super important for our main theme right now, which is success of the four maxims of the Winning with Trevor podcast, is to be successful, you have to have good self-efficacy. Otherwise, it's going to be hard because you're basically fighting yourself on your own ability to win. You know, I've got more than one friend who either presently or at one point in the past has hindered their own ability to succeed in life simply by the self-defeating and self-fulfilling prophecies of failure that circulate inside people's minds. Sometimes when things happen, we tend to associate or attribute a value to the outcome of a situation, and we basically assume that it's always going to be a certain way based on our particular situation, when in reality there's so many infinite variations of different aggregates that lead up to create the ultimate outcome from a series of different situations. And each time it's so modulated and nuanced by our own ability to react emotionally, think logically, evaluate our options, take the third response instead of the first two responses, to maybe do damage control, to maybe validate other people's feelings. What you do is your business, but at the same time, I think we have a little responsibility for the emotional environment we create for other people to coexist with us in by taking responsibility for our own reactions to life. And I think there's a real fractal concept. So for those of you that aren't familiar with fractals, I'm not going to explain it to you. Google it. I am not a fractal scientist. This is not a podcast about fractals or mathematics or conceptual mathematics, in case you turned to the wrong dial. But fractals are basically a really interesting geometric figure or a curve that basically it's like holographic. Each part of it has the same quote-unquote statistical character as the whole. And there's a lot of examples of fractals in nature, sunflowers and things like that, coastal lines, where it's kind of like the more you zoom in, the more you see the same thing. So it's like this infinite galaxy of shapes that self-replicate themselves the closer you look. That's my novice explanation of what a fractal is. But there's an emotional fractal that I'd like to discuss. And that same sense of self-similarity, where things look more and more like themselves the closer that you look at them. The human spirit, our personality, we're very fractal in nature when you look closely at some of the aspects of self-efficacy. So, you know, when we have this concept that we have the ability to control ourselves and therefore our environment by choosing our interactions instead of, I guess, being like animals that tend to kind of go more on, you know, procreation and, you know, feeding and things like that. We have the kind of meta fractal aspect of that. But when we have an ability, and this ability in and of itself increases other abilities like our self-efficacy, our belief in our innate abilities to succeed will help our ability to succeed. It's really interesting when you think about it, because basically it's this amazing ability that we have to create forward momentum, which develops our abilities by believing in our abilities in a fractal resonance of emotional frequencies. It's really fascinating because our ability creates our ability. Our ability to think about our ability and believe in our ability, the ability to believe in abilities creates further abilities to believe in our abilities and whatever abilities that we're believing in achieving and further developing. Can we say abilities one more time for the second take? Abilities. This is one of those things that, you know, you don't have to overthink, but it really re-emphasizes the power of mindset. And I think a lot of people right now are talking about mindset. I know I get ads on my Facebook newsfeed from Brendan Burchard, and he's always talking about, well, everyone's talking about mindset right now, but is it really enough? And he goes into his whole sales pitch about, I guess, why you should buy his book. I've never read his books, but I'm sure they have value somewhere. But it's one of those things where, unless it's specific to you, unless you find a way to adapt something, a routine, adapt a way of thinking, create a new habit, just buzzwords alone are not going to help you out. It's not going to be enough just to say, oh, I guess it really is about mindset. Well, here's the details. Here's the nitty-gritty. Here's the why. So our mindset helps to create our expectations that we have from life and ourselves, and our expectations help to create our ability to rise up to meet this demand, our expectation of ourselves. If we're not really expecting that much from ourselves, well, guess what? Probably not going to give much to ourselves in return. And the same goes with how we treat other people. If we're not expecting other people to treat us very well, and we have that assumption, well, first of all, they can kind of feel that on some level. And second of all, you kind of, you know, get what you expect a lot of times. And sometimes this is not some crazy metaphysical astral projection onto the seventh dimension. It's straight human psychology. You know, if you're looking for other things to help your confirmation bias succeed in believing in whatever you want, whether it's believing in someone else's ability not to succeed, you'll find ways in which you can point out that they didn't. But if you're also believing in someone's ability to succeed, you'll also find out ways to celebrate their wins and celebrate the successes that they've had and where they have succeeded. And it really comes down to the mindset. It comes down to the inner focus, the inner point from which you pivot to the next move. And it is from that point, that launching pad, that we determine our own lives. Because if we're not determining it, then we're allowing life to determine our life for us. And that's not a very nice thing to do to yourself. Because basically it means I'm getting scraps. I'm getting sloppy seconds because I chose to lay back, hitchhike a ride to the future instead of decide for myself, well, what is that going to be, you know, for me? If I choose to act, what action should I take that will create the future that I want to have? In one of my recent newsletters, which you can get to by going to trevorwgoodchild.com/subscribe, typing in your email address and confirming it so that you'll get a free weekly email from me on Tuesdays normally. And it's got some really cool tips on how to really change your game and make sure that you're succeeding in life instead of running around in a circle chasing your tail like a dog with rabies. So I think one of the things that I really went into that has a lot of merit and a lot of value in my recent newsletter is the fact that when we have a goal, it's just intangible to ourselves. It doesn't really make sense that it's going to motivate us just to say we have a goal. Say we have a goal of being an astronaut. That's never really going to be a reality because we're just talking about it. But if we look into the steps that is required to achieve this goal, we look in what would be required from ourselves to achieve this goal, we'd be a lot closer. Does it mean we'd make the cut? Maybe not. But it also doesn't guarantee that we wouldn't. It just means now we are more prepared. We have more information to take it on. Now, I'm not encouraging everyone to go into the space program. If that's your bag, go ahead. I support you following your dreams. But we can kind of stair-step our way to larger goals from smaller ones, as I like to say. And I think it's just really helpful when we're thinking about how do we increase our achievement? How do we bridge the achievement gap with students and schools, with ourselves and our goals for the future? And a lot of that really comes down to making it real to us, making a goal that would otherwise be kind of intangible more real by breaking it down into the specific steps. And sometimes that requires a little research, a little legwork, going to your local library, going to your local laptop and your local Google.com search that's international and global, and being able to just find out. You know, sometimes you may have to Google how to Google. Not everyone knows how to do that. Having the right, you know, search words is definitely important. May take you a few tries, but it's worth it because, you know, the time you invest in learning the how-tos for getting to a goal that you'd like to achieve, whether that's learning how to invest in the stock market, learning how to build a table for some carpentry, and you want to invest in, you know, selling tables at some point, or maybe you just have a goal of, I'd like to make an extra $10,000 this year. Who wouldn't? What are some ways that I can do that? What are some ways that I can make extra income? Here's a pro tip. Don't ever stuff envelopes from home. None of that stuff is ever going to pan out. It is a scam. It is a pyramid. But there's also a lot of other ways people make money on the side. Whether that's generating income by creating an Etsy store and developing extra, you know, sales from that, or doing other little gigs around town, or whatever. Sometimes you just break it down into steps. You find people that are already successful, you find out what they're doing to become successful, and you break it down into a series of steps that you find out. And then the rest is just execution, following through, and overcoming your own tendency to procrastinate. And I think that's just really important to think about. It really all boils down to the mindset that you have, because when you have a mindset of success, when you believe in your own ability to succeed, you're going to enhance your ability to succeed because you're basically being an influencer to yourself. You're being a commercial for yourself. So instead of seeing, you know, the thousandth time commercial about how Geico can save you, God, that never stops coming on, 15 minutes of whatever, you can actually program yourself with your own influence of your own positive mindset for what you can achieve. I mean, don't just blow this off. Don't just say, well, that's nice, Trevor. I knew that. Well, are you doing that? How frequently have you done that? It takes consistency, reapplication, readjustment. It takes getting feedback from yourself and kind of really honestly evaluating, well, what's my progress so far based on my internal mental routine, my mental wellness, my mindset? How is my current mindset affecting my ability to be productive in life? And can I make some tweaks there? What can I specifically do? You know, we can use curiosity to expand our potential. Use curiosity as a way to access more of our potential by, instead of just kind of hitting our head against the wall saying, wow, I've hit a wall. I can't seem to progress further. I'm stagnating. I'm doing okay, but I'm not doing phenomenal. instead of kind of approaching it from that defeatist attitude, which is easy to get into, you want to instead use curiosity about what's possible, what is really possible right now for myself, and just kind of get into this kind of imaginative thinking. You know, don't force it. But when you use curiosity as a powerful leveraging tool for accessing more of your own potential by saying, what can I do? What can I do really well that maybe I haven't really focused on? What have I done well in the past? What if I did this? What if I did that? It does open doorways, and it's pretty amazing. So that's kind of why I wanted to cover self-efficacy. It's not a word that you hear in everyday conversation. It's used a lot in academic contexts. When you get kids to develop better self-efficacy and their ability to believe in their abilities to do well, especially in like STEM for like, you know, science and math and all that kind of great stuff, it really does help them to have a better aptitude when they believe in their own abilities. But I mean, this has been shown. It helps with motivation, motivating yourself. When you believe in your own ability to motivate yourself, then you can motivate yourself better. Kind of works for that way. It works with writing. People that have a strong, you know, perceived self-efficacy helps motivate them to write better. It helps in any kind of performance outcome, whether this is in your traditional 9-to-5 job and someone really has that belief that they can do above and beyond what's expected of them. That belief in of itself is that self-efficacy belief that will increase that ability to do well in and of itself. I mean, they've seen studies where this has helped with healthcare, with people that are recovering from illnesses. Their ability to believe and their ability to heal speeds up the healing process. It works on so many different fronts. That's why I thought it was important to mention. You know, I'm a public speaker. I don't have to really worry about it. It comes naturally to me. Here I am talking to you. I mean, I just, you know, it's one of those things I have. But for a lot of people that are developing the ability to speak and to speak before crowds, self-efficacy. Again, this comes into overcoming speech anxiety by believing in your own ability to speak and reaffirming that to yourself. So a lot of times people have a rather negative and harsh look on Eastern philosophy, and especially Western interpretation of Eastern philosophy, in the sense that there's a lot of shade that's cast, especially by the baby boomer generation, on new thought ideas, on ideas of, I guess, affirmations, and the idea that affirmations in and of themselves are not going to be any good, that, oh, I'm just going to say this and good luck with that. It's a bunch of, you know, snake oil. It's not going to help me. And it's like, well, your belief that it's not going to help you is what's not going to help you. And that's the thing. That's what it comes down to. This is a well-established term, self-efficacy, but it connects to affirmations that you're repeating out loud. Now, if you're just repeating crap out loud, I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. There's a rap about that. You know, if you just repeat stuff out loud, there's not any feeling associated with that. That's not the same thing as developing a more functional, you know, self-care routine that involves mindset and self-efficacy. There has to be an emotional association with it. That's what makes it work. That's what makes any affirmation work. It's what makes any, you know, faith-based procedure, endeavor, goal setting, you know, it's all based on your ability to believe in your own abilities, that self-efficacy would take you forward. So I just think it's important to focus on your own ability to believe in your own ability instead of just kind of writing it off as another self-help speech about why you should buy my specific product advocating this. You know, instead, actually think about where you can repurpose this for your own ends and means. What are some things that perhaps you could use to increase your own self-efficacy about? What are some abilities that perhaps you could develop more by believing in your ability to develop them more? Ask these questions. Think about it. It might really help you out. So our four maxims for the podcast are success, which is the current theme. The second one is happiness. We should all be happy, not forcibly. We should all find a way to explore our own happiness and do things that create that for us in our lives and the people that we love. The third is personal responsibility, because we have to take responsibility for our own self-efficacy. We have to take responsibility for being proactive about developing the ability to believe in ourselves, to be motivated, to have a positive mindset that really does take us places. And the last is self-awareness, because we have to be aware of our current status of personal development, of personal growth, of inner insights, being able to have a mindset that matters, that really makes a difference in our daily life. And I think when you combine these four maxims together as a way of living life, as a way of balancing the stresses of life, as a way of balancing the energy that you're extending and the energy that you're gaining from everyday, daily activities, from weekly, monthly, yearly, long-term goals. I think this is a winning combination. By using these things, you'll stay winning with Trevor. So I want to thank you for tuning in for this week's podcast. Thanks again. You can subscribe to my newsletter at trevorwgoodchild.com/subscribe. And you can also go to trevorwgoodchild.com and see an example of some of my speaking at schools and academic institutions. Do you know of a school that could use a motivational speaker? Feel free to reach out to me at trevor@trevorwgoodchild.com. Or go to trevorwgoodchild.com and check that out. Do you need some career counseling? Do you need some life coaching? Do you need to figure out your life path? Are you struggling to access your own potential to succeed in life and create positive habits and positive thinking? Feel free to reach out to me at trevorwgoodchild.com/happinesslifecoach. And we'll get you on the right track. Well, I hope that the rest of your week goes phenomenally well. Thanks again for tuning in, and think about that self-efficacy today. Think about more of what you can do to motivate yourself through changing your mindset, and take action and you'll see results. Thanks.
It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are some few thoughts to think about on this podcast. Winning with Trevor, signing off. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time you spend contemplating.